Good morning, Luke 418 Fellowship. We are glad to have you worshiping with us. If it's your first time here, please fill out the welcome card in front of you and place it in one of the offering boxes in the back of the auditorium. Before we begin to worship together, here's what to expect over the next few weeks. The Alaska Mission Team has arrived in Anchorage to begin serving with Pastor Tracy and Christ Community Church. Please pray for them as they share the gospel with kids and families throughout this week. Our 418 students have many events planned for this summer, one of which is a summer Bible study on Thursdays at 6:30 throughout the month of June and July. Josh Grogan will lead the guys' study at the Klein's house, and Abigail Bell will lead the girls' study at the Diamond's house. Check with me or Josh Grogan if you have any questions. July 14th at 6 p.m., our choir and orchestra will lead us in song for a summer night of worship. The event will be held here at Luke 418, and we will join with Moffett Road Baptist Praise Ministry. Psalm 95 tells us to praise the Lord together because of His great love for us. Help us give the Lord the praise He deserves during our night of worship. Also, the choir and orchestra will have a bonus rehearsal this afternoon from 12 to 2 p.m. with lunch provided. If you would like to join the choir or orchestra as they rehearse for this event, Brother Aaron would love to have you attend this rehearsal. Lastly, our Kids Summer Outreach Connect Camp is 1 week away. The 418 Kids team is so excited. And here's Melanie Robinson with a special announcement about Connect Camp.
Thanks, Josh. We are 1 week away from our biggest 418 Kids event ever. Over 130 kids, 60 church team members, and 23 of our high school and college students will join together for a fun-filled week of discipleship and praise. If you haven't registered yet, go to our church website and use code Luke418 at checkout for $25 off. As you leave today, we want you to pick up two cards at our Connect Camp table in the lobby. The first is an invite card that you can use to invite your friends and neighbors to Connect Camp. The second is a prayer card. Each camper has a card on our prayer board in the lobby, and we want you to choose one to pray for over the next few weeks. Our goal is for these campers to learn more about Jesus and to share the love of Christ with their families. Thank you for joining us in this church-wide ministry opportunity. And with that, please stand as we begin to worship the Lord together.
Good morning, everybody. We're so glad that you're here with us today. Brother David is in Alaska, and Brother Bobby is going to be bringing the word today. It's going to be great. Let's sing together.
We've waited for this day. We're gathered in your name, calling out to you. Your glory like a fire, awakening desire, will burn our hearts with truth.
You're the reason.
You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our brain.
Whoa, oh, 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 oh,
your presence in this place, your glory on our face. We're descending like a cloud, you're standing with us now. Oh Lord, unveil our eyes.
You're the reason.
You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river. A mighty river flowing from your heart and filling every part of our praise.
Sing, show us.
Show us your glory.
Amen.
show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord.
Sing, show us.
Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart and filling every part of our praise. Sing, 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 open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Whoa, 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 oh, majesty, worship his majesty.
In John, it tells us that he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. He's our Messiah, our Savior today. Let's sing this together.
He became sin who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and he carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah. Body the bread, his blood the wine, broken and poured out, all for love. The whole earth trembled and the veil was torn. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah.
Continue to worship today.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. Is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me. Oh, Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken there's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh, hallelujah, praise the one who every chain, there's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living home. Then came the morning that sealed the promise, your very body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me.
Then came the morning.
Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your very body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. My victory, hallelujah.
That song, because it speaks to our Jesus being a living hope, a daily hope, a second by second hope. He just didn't save us for one time and that's it, and then he left us alone. No, he walks right beside us because he knows how much we need him. Do you need him today? Amen. Let's sing this together.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord, no tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior.
We're so thankful that he is everything that we need, that he is our Lord of all. Let's reprise this chorus as we end our time of corporate worship today. I love that song, Jesus Messiah, because it says that he's our Savior, that he has all authority, that he's the one that brought us back, and that he is God with us, our rescue and our ransom. So let's just sing that one more time, this chorus together.
Jesus Messiah. Emmanuel. The rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all.
Let's pray together. God, we thank you for this time that we get to worship you. In spirit and in truth, we pray that we would be worshipers that you are seeking, Lord. That we would not place too much emphasis on place or tradition, Lord. But that we put all our emphasis on you and what you have done for us. We pray that as we walk through this life, that we would be able to discern the things that are of you and those that are of us. And that we might choose you every time. We pray that we would abide so readily, that you would be able to give us the mind of Christ. We know that you will. We pray today that even in those tough times, in those valleys of life, we pray that we would find you there, right beside us, Lord, as our good shepherd, leading us into green pastures and by still waters. We pray for our teams today as they are out doing your work in Alaska. We pray just right now for Brother Bobby as he brings the word, and Brother Jasper as he sings this song of hope today. Amen.
All alone and brokenhearted, trying to calm the raging battle in my mind. In search of many answers, oh, my troubled soul, it just couldn't seem to find. Then I saw a flower blooming where there was no rain. And I knew not that this flower would change the rest of my life. Yes, it did. I found the lily in my valley. Oh, and I found strength when I was worn. Oh, I found a place I can leave all my burdens. And I found refuge from the storms, a place I can trade my dark skies to beaming rays of his sunshine. Oh yes, I found the lily in my valley, and he blooms all the time. So if you're down and brokenhearted, or you just can't seem to find peace of mind, or you're searching for your answers, oh, but your problems, they're just getting worse all the time. Oh, just lift your hands to Jesus. Oh, he'll take you in and break all those ties that bind. And he'll be your lily in your valley, and you can watch him bloom all the time. Oh, yes. He'll be your lily in your valley. Oh, friends, he'll be your strength when you're warm. Oh, he'll be the place you can leave all your burdens. Oh, and he'll be your refuge from the storm, a place you can trade your
His glorious sunshine. Oh yes, He'll be your lily in your valley. Yes, He will. And He'll bloom all the time. I found the lily in my valley. Oh, and I found strength when I was worn. Oh, I found a place I can leave all my burdens. Oh, yes, and He gives me refuge from my storm. To bloom for you all the time.
Well, good morning. Oh, that was surely sorry. Good morning. You know, David, when he left here, he told me, he said, Bobby, he says, I want you to be up here when I'm gone because I know that you are 55 and alive. And so we've got Jasper up here and me up here. And this week there, we took 40 people to the University of Mobile to see a pottery exposition. And all of us senior adults was there, and we were sharing there on the campus. I graduated there from my bachelor's and my master's degree, so I love University of Mobile. Well, Abigail is a young lady that is part of our church. Her and her boyfriend, the boyfriend is a youth pastor, okay? You saw him on the screen. And so she was got that clay out. I mean, a big old hard clump of clay. And she started beating that stuff, and I thought, buddy, if you ever marry her, you better be careful, because she's beating that stuff, she's tearing that stuff up and ripping it up, making it a damn thing. And when she got through, she was beautiful, you know. That's what God sometimes has to do to us. God has given us an example for life in the Scriptures by the children of Israel. When we look at the journey of the Israelite people all through the centuries of time, God deals with him as his personal children. And folks, I'm going to tell you, we that are born again are his personal children. And he's going to do the best thing he can for us. And sometimes it's rough times. Let's look in Deuteronomy chapter 8. And this whole chapter, now it's got a few verses in it, and we'll be out before lunch, okay? I'm going to tell you that right now. So as we're looking for this in Deuteronomy chapter 8, I was reminded of a movie about it takes two. And if you know the scenario, it's two girls, you know, they're getting, their father's going to marry somebody else, and they don't like it, you know, and so they go forth. And finally, about the end of the show, the future bride is humiliated to heaven knows more how and why. And she says these words, I have never been humiliated like this in my life. Have you been there? Have you ever been in a place where somebody's humiliated you and put you down? That is not of God. Amen. Okay, come on, church. Amen. Okay, you get with me here, all right? Because if you get with me, I'll get through preaching first. Again, a little earlier, right? If you do that, okay? Just say amen. Amen. Okay, I like that. All right. So God is not wanting to humiliate us, but he does want to humble us. And when he humbles us, we grow in grace, and we'll see what God has for us. So to bring out this, we're going to see in chapter 8, verse 1. And we'll begin there because he's going to bring out light to our heart. Number one, to bring light to our heart. All the commandments that I am commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to you, give to your forefathers. See, he's giving a positive thing. If you do this, you live right, you will reap right. You reap what you sow. And so he said, I want to help you out. Verse 2, you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you into the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And if we can remember that when we're walking with God and we're going through a hard time, God put that there for us to grow in grace and become more like Jesus. He's not putting you there to punish you. Well, some of us it is, but you know, he's putting it in us because he loves us and he cares for us. My father, when he was whipping me, he said, "This hurts me more than you, son." I don't think so. You know, but anyway, he said that. So what is he saying here? He's bringing light to our hearts. Testing is not to humiliate you. Testing is to prove to who you God and to get the things out of your life. What do you do when you're in a pinch? How do you respond when these pinches in your life that come about? How do you act? How do you receive it? Do you receive it as God testing you? Or are you receiving it as whether the Satan's after you? You have to live in the Word of God. And since that God says he knows everything that's happened in your life, how he wants to help you, he loves you, he cares for you, he'll never let you go far away, but he'll work with you. So he says, you remember in verse 2, all the ways which the Lord God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years. So what do you do when you're in a pinch? What do you do when you hit your thumb with on nail with a hammer? What do you say? Well, I hope it's ouch. Okay. I've heard some other people say some other things. When I was a carpenter working for a carpenter man. Yeah. So what do you do when you're in a pinch? How do you respond? That shows your heart. Oh, I was out playing golf, and this guy, some curse words came out of it, and he realized I was a pastor. He says, "Oh, Pastor, I didn't mean that." Well, why did you say it if you didn't mean it? You know, he says, "Oh, I slipped." Yes, you did. You know, but God knows your slips. He knows where you are and everything about us. So what do you do when you're in a pinch? God's going to pinch you. Okay, let me give you an example. You're walking down the road and there's a $20 bill. You pick it up. What do? You look around and see if anybody's there and put it in your pocket, don't you? You get but that $20 bill and you see a little lady over there or some people and you pick it up and go over and ask them, or do you put it back and walk off? I was over in Fairhope the other day, and I was in an ice cream shop, and when I came out of the restroom, and there was teenagers all over the place. There was $7 down there. I picked it up. I did not put it in my pocket, okay? I picked it up and walked around and asked and see if I could find somebody, and I couldn't find anybody that would own up to it. I took it to the cashier and said, "Can you keep this $7 because somebody out there has lost it in that?" She said, "No, sir, I can't take it." I said, "Well, what am I going to do?" She says, "I don't know, but you can't leave it here." Now then I put it in my pocket. Okay. But, you know, what do you do when those situations happen? Billy Sunday was a professional baseball player, and he became an evangelist for God. Great man of God. Up in the Chicago areas, he was doing a big campaign in the park, and people were coming to hear him preach. And so in those days, in the early 90s, 1900s and so forth, that it had to travel around by maybe a bus downtown and so forth. So Billy Sunday got on the bus and gave the driver the money, and he gave him some change. And so Billy Sunday went back, sat down, he started checking his change, and he realized that the driver had given him too much money. So when he got to the place where he's going to get off the bus, he went up to the bus driver. He said, "You gave me too much money." He said, "Yeah, I know." He said, "Yeah, you know." He said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, why did you do that?" He said, "Well, you are Billy Sunday, aren't you?" And he said, "Yes, I am." And he said, "But why did you give it to me?" He says, "I gave you more change back because I want to see if you practice what you preach." Wow. Do you understand what that shows us? We need to know what we do when we're in a pinch. When something happens and living our lifestyles, God says we are to be a Christian all the time. Jack Hiles was the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana, back in the 1960s. They ran 10,000 on Sunday morning. They were the largest church in the United States at that time. He was on one day, he wanted to have a lunch. And so he walked out from the church and went down the street, found a little cafe and got out in there. And they set him down and so forth. The waitress came over to him and slammed a glass of water and it spilled on there. And she threw them the menu and walked away. So when she came back and she said, "What do you want?" And so he told her what he wanted and everything, and so she went off and she brought back the food and slammed it down on the table. He says, "Well, can I have some tea?" And she said, "Yes." And so she went back and got some tea and brought it and did the same thing, put it on the table and walked off. Now, I mean, she was very rude, if you can believe that and see that. And so when she come back, she gave him his bill and threw it on the table and walked off. Didn't have a kind word. It's just something was wrong. So what he did is he put a tip down and he left. And he walking down the street about a half of the block, this waitress came running after him. And she says, Mister, she said, "You left a $20 tip on my table." Now this is back in the 50s. That would be like giving $100 today. She put $20 to her. She said, "I was rude to you and all that." I said, "Why did you do that?" He said, "I thought I might cheer you up with $20. And then he says, "That $20 might give you happiness for a moment." He says, "But your happiness and joy for life is Jesus." And he witnessed to her on that place and was able to win her on the streets of Chicago and Hammond, Indiana, because he didn't take it personal. He saw beyond her faults, her needs, and he gave her that $20 and led her to Christ. What would you do? Put a penny on the table and leave it for a tip and walk off? Don't say, "Oh, me." Okay, all right, all right. But you understand what I'm talking about. What do you do when you get in a pinch? Here in the scriptures, he says, "I'm doing these things, and I'm going to pinch you. I'm going to humble you, and this is going to be for your good." When you are squeezing an orange, what do you get out? What? Orange juice or ink? Whatever's inside. When you get squeezed, what's inside will come out. That's why God is teaching us that our life should be every day, every moment, filled up with Jesus. And when we get pinched, we should say, praise the Lord, amen, hallelujah, or something like that. And the attitude of our life. He said to the children of Israel, you need to come to the light of your heart. Number two, let's look at verse 3. He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Folks, if we don't get into the Word of God and live by the Word of God, we'll never do right what like God wants us to be. The Bible is our guidebook, it's our love book, it's our everything, and we need to be studying the Word of God all the time. My pastor talked to that me when I was 12 years of age. He poured the scriptures to me and he told me how to do it, and I've done it all my life. And yes, I went away from God at a period of time in my life, but the scriptures never left my mind and my heart, and it brought me back to Jesus Christ. See, with the right, see, God wants to bring light to our needs of a spiritual heart. We need money. We need lots of things in our life, and we need friends. We need companionship. We need lots of things, but the main thing we need is Jesus. And we have Jesus in our hearts and our life. He will absolutely bless your socks off. Amen. I'm telling you, God loves his children. He doesn't hate you, but when he punishes you or brings things in bad in your life and you think of that, it is for your good. And I know because God loves me. To bring light our spiritual heart, we need it. See, God Jehovah is our healer. He's a divine person in our life. He's our director. He gives us light into the darkened world, and he is what we need. Jesus is God in the flesh, and God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is living in us. And if you are a Christian, God lives inside of you. Amen. It's so good. Children of Israel had a hard time, didn't they? They messed up. And we, if we'll be honest, we've messed up. But God is interested in that to bring you to the place where we can be for what he wants us to be. Well, let's continue on. So look in verse 4 and verse 5. Your clothing did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. I know my wife doesn't like that verse. Clothing didn't wear out on you. Oh, my wife is a beautiful woman. She's a great woman. She loves me. She keeps me straight, and I need it. And she's don't be mad at me, honey. I forgot I didn't almost supposed to mention her today. Okay, let's keep going here. All right, look at the word. God wants to supply our needs. And to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciple you just as a man disciples his son. These words, does it grab you off the page that what God is trying to do to us and to bring us to the light? He said, I want to bring you to the light of your spiritual heart. We are concerned about the physical, and rightly so, but God is Jehovah, and he's our healer, and he's our spiritual God. He gives us victory in everything. He knows when we're going to fail, and when we say things wrong, and when we do things wrong, but he's there to bring the light to the spiritual head. That, you know, we're living in a dark world, And the world, when it's in this darkness, the light is hard to shine. But when we are in dark, when we see the light, we know what the truth and the reality of that. To bring the light of all of our needs. Look down into these first couple of verses. It points over and over. Verse 6, therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his way and to fear him. See, if we keep God's commandments and walk in his ways and fear him, then he will bless us. Then, verse 7, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of waters and of fountains and springs flowing forth in the valley and in the hills. See, it's out there, and God is walking with us, and he's going there to get us there. Do you remember a time in your life when you just was in a desperate situation? Do you remember the time when he brought you out of that desperation? And a lot of us can say yes. And so as we bring us, he's bringing us out and bring us along, that makes me know that God is there. Listen, I don't know of anybody that's perfect. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody does something wrong. That flesh just creeps up out of the bushes, so to speak. But yet, God still loves us and cares for us. He's looking at your heart. When our lifestyle, we choose to walk with God and walk through the valley and the shadow of the death, walk through the good times and the bad times, God just will be there, and he will love you, and he'll help you. And folks, we need to make sure our life, that little sins don't crop into our life and to make us do things that are wrong. God wants us to walk with him. Holy, holy God. A God of love and a God of mercy and a God of mercy. But the children of Israel keeps going backwards in that 40 years. But then they get right, get back, get right, get back, get right. And God is trying to build us. He wants to give light to our spiritual heart. He wants to give the light that he's our source. And it is not easy sometimes, but God says, I love you through all these things. So we bring light to our hearts. We bring light to our need as a spiritual heart. He brings light to us so that he is our supplier. Next, he's to bring lights for us by the commandments of God. Look in verse 8. A land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil and honey. He said, this is what you're going to get. It's going to be flowing and it's going to be good. And so it may be looking bad right now, but it's going to get better. Just walk with me. I am your God. I am your supplier. I know what's in your heart, and I'm discipling you. And because we are his, it is not easy, but it is doable. Amen. God has not forgotten you in your circumstance. I was a time in my life when I was way away from God. And God got me healed. Brother Fred came after me and everything and brought me back when I didn't even hardly know Fred. But he taught me when I was sitting there week after week preaching the Word of God and God blessing us. And so when I got right with God, God brought my beautiful wife into my life, and she's been such a help me for my life. God then put us in together, and God called me again to go to preach. And God put me in school and put me at the University of Mobile as an older student. And it was hard. It was hard to go back to school and get my degree. It was hard to get my master's. But, you know, it went on. We had a baby born during that time. And Rachel, our daughter, when we were living in the parsonage at Union Baptist Church in Grand Bay, and I'm preaching on Sundays and doing the church, and I have a baby little girl, and I have my wife. I have a business on the side. I'm doing some stuff to get some money and let that go. Then I'm here, and I'm in school, going to school full-time, taking classes to graduate and other stuff. I'm telling you what, I was tired. But God put it in my heart that I had to do it. And so I kept on it. my little girl, I loved her so much. And then she's 30-something years of age now and she's got two children. And so I'm so happy about that. But I didn't want to have the office of the church because nobody was at the church every day of the week. And so my office was at home, and I'd be back there studying and trying to get ready for school and trying late on Saturday nights to get the message finished for Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday and everything else. You understand? And my plate was loaded, and my little girl would knock on my door, "Come on, Daddy, come on, let's come out and play." Well, what are you going to do? Go play, you know, and it stretches out the time. And so I'm trying to balance all these things, and it was hard. But thank God, God got me through and walked through. Where are you in your life? What's so hard? Is your job not good and it's awful? Or is it that you every week looking at your bank account and you don't have enough? What in your life are you going through? Are you okay? Are you blessed? And God's just blessing you, and so you just be thankful and be generous to other people. God says, "I want to bring light in every avenue of your life." So he keeps bringing it. Verse 6, he talks about the commandments of God. Down there from 6 to verse 14, he talks about how we need to keep the commandments, how we need to live the commandments, so that we will not have a lack in our life. And then we jump down all the way down to verse 15. You can read those verses in there later. In verse 15, he led you through the great and terrible wilderness, with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty grounds where there was no water. He brought water for you out of the rocks of flint. Wow. See, God brings light to the resources are from God. Every good gift comes from the Father above. Amen. And so God wants to bring hope, bring happiness, bring life to you, and bring the water. He said it's a terrible thing, but even in when the serpents would bite you, even when the ground had no water, he brought water out of the rock so that we could live and we can be used of God. Verse 16, in the wilderness he fed you manna with your father and did not know he might humble you and that he might test you to do good for you in the end. Otherwise, you may say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand made me this wealth. I know that I cannot do anything without Jesus. I can't be a good father without Jesus. I can't be a good husband without Jesus. I can't be a good neighbor without Jesus. I can't be a good person without Jesus. I cannot be a good citizen without Jesus. I cannot live a life without Jesus. I can't breathe without Jesus because I'll die. So God's saying, look at the children of Israel, what I did to them, and it took them 40 years. I don't want any more 40 years like that. I want to walk with God because God says, I'm on your side. I want to love you. I want to keep you. I want to open the doors for you. I want to give you living water. I want to supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. I want to be the man of God. I want you to be the woman of God. And folks, you know, as we look at the scriptures, we look at the children of Israel. 40 years they kept messing up. I think I could get right before that time. I might not, but I can. Why? Because Jesus says, I love you. He does not want to humiliate you. He will humble us to bring us to where we need to be with God. God's a loving God. He's a caring God. I tell you what, God sometimes makes us laugh. Sometimes he makes us cry. But the power of all of this is like the potter taking that clay, breaking it down. As Abigail would break that thing, I mean, she's slamming it down, down, and down, down. And then she's pushing her hands in, she's putting it on the wheel. And so finally, the wheel is slowing down a little bit. It's just real soft. And she's just scraping off some of the clay. And then it begins to take shape. And she is doing it. And then she's going to glaze it. She's going to paint it and glaze it and all that stuff. And it's going to turn out to a beautiful, beautiful bow. I was down in Nicaragua on a mission trip, and I had a privilege to meet a little pastor that was out in the back of the woods, so to speak, a little short guy, and he had a pottery house at his house. And so we went to visit him, for me and some of the students from the University of Mobile, and his house was no bigger than this stage. He had four rooms in that little bit of the old house. And the one of them was where he made the pottery. He did so well that he became worldwide known. He was in this little house, and his family, and they lived in that little baby there in the woods, and he was pastoring 20 people that were natives of his people right there in the woods, and he was never going to get any bigger congregation until they have a child. Okay, that's all the way you can get them. There was no people moving in. There was no electricity hardly at all, and so he was working, and I was watching him. He was paddling that thing, and he was working on those pots. And so I was able to buy a pot, and I've got it in my office at home. But the National Geographic flew him to New York to show some of his artwork to the world. And he's living in a little shack. He don't want to go to live in New York. He wants to live in that shack and work with those people and make pottery. See, God can use you and in powerful ways, if we just say, you know, Lord, I want to get out of the way and let you do it. I want to follow the word of God and do it, because I always want to walk in the light of God. And as he brings us to the light, that we see that when he brings the light for that, our resources are for him, good. He brings, gives us every good gift he can. He brings light that he is God and we are not. We're not God. He is. He's the perfect one. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. We all fail. We all make mistakes. But where are you now? Do you love Jesus? Are you walking in the light? Are you having light come out of you so people see you and say, boy, that guy's a Christian? Are you there, or are you in a dark place? There's hope. There's light. There's light. And Jesus says, I love you. And know where you are right now. Some of you say, well, I don't know Jesus. Well, then Jesus is there with you, trying to convict you and get you right. The power of the Holy Spirit. He's like a hound dog after you. He wants you. He loves you. And he cares you. You say, well, I'm too bad to have God love me. No, sir. God loves every person. If God can love the person that was on the cross next to him, a thief, robber, murderer, and he loved him, and he took him to heaven when he went there, he'll love you, right? Isn't this a good word? When we look at the children of Israel, they're our example. Let's follow the good part of them and not the bad part of them.